going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
That's right, it is the Going Deep podcast. Got a little mini pod for you to get you set for the weekend, as we have some big sporting events that mean a lot to Canadians. On the baseball side, big series for the Blue Jays, taking on the Washington Nationals on the road, where they've struggled to produce runs. And in the fight game, UFC 301 goes down this weekend. Big sports Friday and Saturday. We get you set for all of them on the Going Deep podcast. Let's start in order. Start on Friday with the baseball game. It's actually on Apple TV this week. And let's catch up with Alex Faust, play-by-play voice for not just Apple Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus, but also you've heard him on Fox Sports, on the NHL, on TNT. But it's all about baseball right now, and all about this Blue Jays team, who has struggled to play consistent winning baseball and struggled to score runs no matter the win-loss record. I wonder what Alex's perspective is. Let's go deep. Alex, thanks for taking some time now that you're settled in Washington. We missed you here in Toronto, but we'll have to catch up when you're back calling a game at Rogers Center. But as you know, this offense has been a bit better at home in Rogers Center, but has struggled no matter where they are. Fans at this point are throwing a parade if they get to five runs. A core that is pretty much the same, didn't do much to add to it in free agency other than Justin Turner. They fell short in the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, obviously. What's your appraisal on what Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have done with this team and their lack of offensive production?
Well, I think the big question that they're asking, and a lot of fans are asking, is what is this team? Is this the team that was top five in run production in 2021 and 2022? Or is this the team that right now is bottom five in that category? Is this the team that was built on the idea that, you know, Vlad Guerrero and Bo Bichette would continue to improve and that slugging would be a big part of this team's identity? Or is it the one now that's struggling to generate power? Frankly, I think to your point about how this team was constructed, I think it was constructed with the idea of, okay, we're going to see continued growth and evolution of those core pieces, and we'll build around them. And that right now puts them in a bit of a quagmire because they're an older team. Their lineup is constructed around two guys that right now are both underperforming. And the question is, where do you go from here? And I know, you know, Kevin Kiermaier's a part of that. You know, he's injured right now. Justin Turner, as you mentioned, was a great signing. But, yeah, they struck out an Ohtani over the offseason. I don't think you can necessarily point to that and say that, you know, even if Ohtani was a Blue Jay right now, that it would change very much, because the core part of that question is, what is this team's identity supposed to be? And if it's built around the idea of slugging as a key component, we talked about the ballpark upgrades and the change in dimensions, and yeah, it may have helped at home, but if the numbers overall aren't good, then where is the franchise at? And I think it's a very fair question to ask.
So last weekend, my son turned 5 years old, which is not relevant to you whatsoever, except for the fact that when he was born, I was in the hospital and I was supposed to be covering Vlad Jr.'s major league debut. And I remember what a scene it was. It was almost as if it was an all-star game, how excited fans were for him to come to the majors. Now, the feeling amongst the fans are quite opposite, and there's a debate on whether or not you actually want to pay him when he gets expensive, given the production. This is someone who not that long ago was second in MVP voting to Shohei Ohtani. You know how scouts say, once a player shows me the level, then it's in there and it's on us to get it out of them. What do you make of the fact that Vlad hasn't actually continued to ascend, but, you know, maybe has regressed a little bit?
Well, that may be what a scout believes, but, you know, as you know, sports is very much a what have you done for me lately kind of business. And that may be fair or unfair, but he's one of several questions that this, you know, this leadership group in the front office is going to have to look at in terms of contract situation coming up next year. You know, fairly or not, the results speak for themselves right now. I mean, you talk about guys that are going to have free agency status next year. It's not just Guerrero, it's Bichette. It's, you know, pitchers like Bassett and Romano and Eric Swanson. You know, like, there's a serious question to be had about the future of this team and how they want to construct it and what they want it to look like. And I know it puts a little bit of undue pressure, you know, more so on this year than anything else, but I think it will inform their decision-making going forward of, okay, do we stick with this group? You know, I'm sure, you know, over across not too far away at Scotiabank Arena, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going through the same thing with asking about their core, right? You know, and how long they want to go with that group, even though they haven't done very much. So it's a question that's absolutely being asked, because the Blue Jays have to be prepared for the answer when it comes, and whether that's this trade deadline or the offseason, those are going to be some hard questions to ask.
Yeah, thankfully for Toronto sports fans, they have the PWHL team, which is the hope, because Toronto sports as a whole is down bad right now. But if I were to canvass approval ratings of all members of Toronto sports, the lowest might be John Schneider, the manager, even though if you get to know him, he's a great guy. I wonder where we are in the game. Are managers essentially just shields for the front office? Does a change at the managerial position actually impact winning that much, given that more often than not, managers are executing a plan that a large group of people have input in?
Yes and no. I mean, I think if you strictly judge based on, you know, the debacle in the postseason last year and how by the book everyone was, and that, as you said, was from management on down of their plan for the pitching staff and Berrios in the postseason last year, right? You know, if you're strictly judging based on that, then no, you know, like, this is not on John Schneider. This is on a lot of different guys, right? But ultimately, like, he's the, you know, the first line, right? You know, you only have so many levers in ownership to effect change, and one of them is through the manager, and then one of them is through your baseball executive. You know, and you can kind of be top-down and hands-on. You could be completely hands-off. There are a variety of ways you can do it, but I think, you know, it's another one of the questions that the Blue Jays have over the long haul is, you know, okay, what lever do we want to pull here to try to get the most out of this group right now?
Talked about the Ohtani free agency chase earlier, and we have no chill as Toronto sports fans. We'll follow Kawhi Leonard in a helicopter. We'll report on, you know, the Canadian business tycoons and their planes and where they might not be. That's this market outside of this border. Did you have any belief that Ohtani actually took Toronto as a serious destination?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There was no reason to believe otherwise. I think it got completely overwrought, the idea, oh, he's flying in, and oh, you're taking a look at this plane, and oh, the decision day to day. Like, you know, that's where everybody needs to take a step back and chill. I think there is, you know, obvious consternation within Toronto about all the free agents that have been available and that they have pursued or reportedly pursued and come up short in trying to sign. And I don't know the answer to that question. And I don't know to what extent, you know, how realistic it was to try, you know, to sign all these guys. But what I do know is that, you know, they've got superstars in the making here, right? You know, they have, on paper, a good team. if everybody plays to their potential. And I think that's where so much of the challenge comes in. Yeah, okay, Ohtani would have been an incredible phenomenon, and his talent is obvious and undeniable. But when you look at the Blue Jays as they're currently constructed right now, I mean, this is a team that's a very veteran team. They're not looking at younger players to carry the day. So the question has to be asked, okay, is the team that's going to work for you over the long haul? And this year, where yet again offense comes into question, I think, it's frustrating in that, you know, there was a missing out on Ohtani, no doubt. But I don't think that one player changes the entire equation, even as great a hitter as he is. I don't think that changes the long-term questions facing the Blue Jays.
The question now, given that this is the core, is that, you know, outside of something happening before the trade deadline, that help necessarily isn't on the way, unless you view that former opening day starter and someone in the Cy Young conversation in past years, Alek Manoa, could be on the way. You've been around the game a long time. Have you ever seen a starting pitcher go from flying through the minor league level, quickly being an all-star and in the Cy Young conversation, to not being able to repeat delivery in the minor leagues and struggling at that point without an obvious, you know, catastrophic injury being the scenario? Have you seen a case like what we've seen over the last year or so with Manoa?
You know what? The sad thing is, yes, because pitching is such a mental game. You are, you know, it's gladiatorial in a lot of ways. You are mano a mano with a batter, and the psychology, as I've talked to pitchers, is, you know, they think in a different way than most you and I would think. You know, the way that they approach it is very much me versus you. I'm going to get you. And if you have doubt in any way, and if that doubt seeps into mechanics and you develop habits that alter those mechanics, it could be completely involuntary. It could be completely subconscious. Welcome to the psychology of pitching. And it's sad because you don't want to see a pitcher with that much obvious talent as Manoa, you know, who went from struggling with command and then struggling with mechanics and then injured. And, you know, guy who finished, as you mentioned, third in AL Cy Young voting, 2.24 ERA just 2 years ago. But it happens. And there's no, you know, easy solution. There's no, there's nothing that you can say that makes it any better. It's just one of those things that happens. And you have to hope that your organization has built a pitching staff. And I think, again, on paper, they have, between Gausman, Barrios, Bassett, and the guy who'll take the mound on Friday, scheduled to, at least, Yusei Kikuchi, right? Like, there's no obvious problem there. And actually, you know, since the second week of April, the Blue Jays have had, you know, the seventh best ERA in baseball among starting pitching. That to me doesn't strike me as the issue. And I know Manoa gets so much attention because of his fall to the minor leagues, all the way to the depths of the minor leagues. But it happens. That's baseball, unfortunately.
It is. And it's still the beginning of May, and there's still a good series or a good homestand from being right back in that wild card scenario, although there's a lot of teams to jump. They're only 3.5 games back as we talk. If you're selling the Blue Jays as a stock, let's try to end this on a positive note for our fans, and you're bullish on them for one reason or another, what would you say? What is the hope of this group that fans, you know, should be clinging to and hoping seeing the trend reverse?
Well, I think the production of Bichette in particular, that has to regress back to the mean in a positive way. There is no way that you're going to tell me that his numbers right now are going to continue the way that they are. You know, I think Davis Schneider, you know, of his 16 hits this season, 7 have gone for extra bases. Addison Barger just got called up. He's a top 5 prospect, with Kevin Kiermaier on the shelf. And he's got an interesting backstory. You get Kiermaier healthy, and even if you can get basically league average production from Vlad. I think the problem is right now you're below that league average. If you're getting regular average production to couple it with the starting pitching, I think the Blue Jays are fine, you know, to contend for a wild card spot. So if you're talking about, you know, buy, sell, or hold, I think you hold on this Blue Jays team as it's currently constructed and as they go through 2024, because all those decisions don't have to be made right now. All those hard questions don't have to be answered right now. You can wait till the off season or on into next year to figure out those long-term things, as frustrating as it may be. But as you said, it's a long season, and you bet on what you've seen already, and you know that the talent is there, both pitching and hitting, and this team has been pretty good defensively. So, I think you got to hold on right now and fight your way through it, and we'll see where things land come summertime.
Well, Warren Buffett built his fortune on buying distressed assets, so I am sold. Thank you. You have a future in investment banking, if you want, after baseball. Present is going great. Really enjoyed the Friday night baseball broadcast. So excited to listen to yourself and Ryan and Trisha Whitaker on the call. It's a nice balance of innovation and information, I would describe it, in terms of the call. Now that you've been with the crew for a bit, what can we expect this year as the broadcasts continue to evolve and give us something different than, you know, oftentimes fans get from their local broadcast?
Well, you guys have some of the best just in the business, period, between Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez. So, we cannot do them justice. What we try to do is, have a really fast-paced, engaging, visually stimulating show. You'll notice that we run a lot of replays. We run a lot of breakdowns. We show pitch cast quite a lot. We show stat cast quite a lot, the 3D rendering that gets done there. We have the lower right-hand portion of the screen. We kind of have the predictive stats going on, of, let's say, the odds to reach base, or odds for an extra base hit, odds for a strikeout, et cetera, et cetera. So we try to do things just a little bit differently, but we are not trying to reinvent the wheel. At the heart of it, it's a baseball show. We hope it's a smart baseball show. We hope that it's an engaging baseball show. It has a little bit of fun, but isn't taking away from your enjoyment of the game. And I know, again, that's a really tall order when you're talking about stepping in. When you guys have Dan and Buck as one of the top crews in the sport. Period. But we try to do our best, and we try not to get in the way more than anything else, and hopefully it winds up being an entertaining show.
Well, I'm hopeful you get more hits with runners in scoring position than punch outs, which Blue Jays fans have seen a lot of so far this year. Thank you so much for the time and perspective, and have a great call.
Thank you very much, Simon. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Alex Faust at Alex_Faust. FAUST is his handle, and as always, Friday Night Baseball is available for you on Apple TV Plus. If you want to watch a big sporting event this weekend, I'd argue outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs, nothing is bigger than UFC 301. It goes down in Brazil. And the main card is the UFC Flyweight Championship. And our next guest is someone who has a real shot to win it, but many people didn't give a shot to be headlining so quickly in his career. And that is the pride of Down Under, Steve Ersig. And he's on the pod right now. Steve, thank you for joining. And I'm excited for you. We're getting closer and closer to a lifelong opportunity, I imagine. What's it like for you, knowing so much time, preparation, thought has gone into this moment, and you're close, but you're not there yet?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's been a long time working and sacrificing for one goal, and that was to be to be the toughest guy in the world. And the belt, I guess, is a symbol of that. But beating Pantoja, who's a Brazilian in Brazil, is probably cooler than everything else.
I noticed you said toughest guy in the world and not the most technical guy in the world. Is people love to describe your technical ability. That distinction for you is important. Why?
I think there are lots of great athletes in the world, but there's not that many great fighters anymore. I think, yeah, there's a lot of the world's getting, obviously, in a Western culture, there's a lot easier lives going on. Obviously, you have like people in Russia that still have it hard, like people in Brazil have it hard, that sort of thing. But where I'm from, there's a lot less tough guys around than there used to be. So I just want to be like those Clint Eastwoods that I grew up watching. I just want to be a tough guy.
Funny you mentioned that because I'm a father to a couple of young boys and I'm just constantly thinking about instilling grit and resilience and toughness and how to find scenarios for that to come out. And at the same time, you want to have a pathway that's easier for your kids, not harder. Where were the scenarios in your life where you were able to work that muscle that now you rely on so readily?
I think there's a few things. One, I was smaller than most of the people in my school and my sports, all that sort of stuff. So if I wanted to succeed, I had to be a little bit tougher. I had to work harder. I had to do all these things to separate myself from them. And I guess the other one was I was never, as weird as it sounds, my dad never let me win anything. So anytime we had any competitive sports, not just my dad, but my grandparents and cousins and all that sort of stuff, we're a very competitive family, so if we're doing something, they're gonna win. So I didn't beat dad at soccer, I didn't beat dad in a race, I didn't beat dad at anything we ever did until I was a much older human. So I guess that sort of probably helped build toughness too.
All right, I'm gonna have to apply that method with my youngsters and just deal with the tears until they can actually beat me at something.
Yeah.
The way you described yourself in a way, you could use that to describe, where you come from and the support, from not just Australia but New Zealand for you is so massive. And you're talking about places that athletically punch well above their weight. Got the Olympics coming up, and all ways have more medals, than other countries per capita. For you to represent where you're from on this stage and to see the love and support makes you feel what?
I guess feel fulfilled in a way, knowing that the country has my back and people I respect greatly seem to have belief in me. It's wild to think that I'm in the position that I'm in and to have the people backing me that are backing me. So I guess fulfilled would be a good word.
Talk about the belief that they have in you. Some people were not in disbelief, but surprised that you got a title shot and were headlining this quickly. Were you surprised? Or was this all part of the
Yeah.
greater plan?
No, I mean, of course I'm surprised that nobody, I can't imagine anybody unless they're delusional looks at making it to the UFC and going, oh, I'll just get there in less than a year, I'll fight three guys and I'll be there. Like most people are gonna fight lower level guys, they're gonna work their way up and between 6 and 10 fights is when they'll be hoping to fight for their first UFC title. It just so happened that I got a lucky break with my first opponent, having Match Nell pull out and getting a top 10 ranked opponent. And then from there, solidifying myself as, yeah, top 15 and fighting onwards and upwards from there. So I just been lucky, I guess. And I guess the other part of luck or whatever you want to call it is I've been working for a very long time to take opportunities when they come and not, I need 12 weeks, I need a full camp. I need all this sort of stuff. I'm ready to go whenever.
Although people may have been surprised, they're super happy that you got this opportunity. And you are a darling of the internet and social media. So many jokes and memes about you. You're someone who is online. Have you seen something that you found the funniest or the most clever or made you laugh?
I mean, there's been a lot, but the whole picture of me with the Alex Pereira headpiece on after I got the the last knockout. So like, yeah, just, I thought that was funny. And then me with a Best Buy t-shirt on and representing Steve Carell. And yeah, there's quite a few good ones out there.
Fighters sometimes have to put on this facade. They're so tough. They have no personality. They don't laugh. You seem to be a little bit more self-deprecating. I believe the term, correct me if I'm wrong, I might butcher this, is taking the piss, right?
That is definitely the saying. We I feel like if you have, or if you're friends with somebody, or even if you don't like somebody, it's part of Australian culture is, yeah, taking the piss out of your mates. So we are constantly verbally abusing each other, and I think that makes for maybe more resilient people or more laid back people. We definitely know how to fight, so yeah, you don't have to be tough all the time, I guess. Don't have to act tough all the time, should I say?
No question. There's another massive storyline in the sport right now and in this card, and that's Jose Aldo and him, taking a step away after a great career. If you could sum up his career and his legacy and what has impressed you the most about it, what would it be?
I mean, obviously he's a great fighter. His stand-up is unbelievable. Probably the thing that separates him out of everybody is his takedown defense and get-ups. Like, lots of people have great stand-up, but the amount of great wrestlers that got on his hips and he was managed to defend and get up was just amazing. He's fought the who's who. He never seemed to back down from a challenge. He's gone down divisions, up divisions, all sorts of stuff. So he's definitely a great fighter and somebody to look up to and model yourself on.
No question. And lastly, there's so much, to learn from your journey and your ascension, and the story is still being written. This is just one chapter of it. But for this chapter, coming off of this weekend, if someone is at the work, at the water cooler, talking about your performance or in their group chat messaging, what's the one thing, the one impression you want to leave on the fight fans watching, some of which who are going to be introduced to you at this level for the first time?
Just said I'm coming for a finish. I'm not here to win patty cake. I'm gonna look for a fight, and I know he's gonna bring one, and it's gonna be exciting.
Well, your fights have not only garnered good results, they have been exciting. I'm so excited to watch what you have in store for you. So, just to couple sleeps away. I can't wait. Good luck with the last bit of preparation. And thank you for being such a great representation for the sport.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks so much to Steve for taking the time, because I tell you, if I was just hours away from the biggest sporting event of my life, the culmination of a life's work, I don't know if I'd be doing much media. I would be a wreck, probably. I couldn't really sleep or eat before big exams in university, never mind the biggest exam in a mixed martial arts aspect. So appreciate Steve for hanging out. Give him a follow. At Erceg, Steve is his handle on X, Erceg, Steve. Pretty self-explanatory. Such a cool story he has. From Perth, Western Australia, to a title fight. And if you want to see the action this weekend, we've got you covered. You can watch the pay-per-view on Sportsnet Plus. Actually, if you've got Rogers Ignite, just say it directly into your remote. Pops up on the screen, no issues. I will be consuming it. Assume you'll be watching as well. Either way, I appreciate you listening. Only other favor is like, favorite, share, subscribe. We've got more great content for you coming up. Don't want you to miss any of it. Talk to you soon.